Boker Tov, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. This is now our second makeup shiur to complete the gap. We won't complete, but to continue working on the gap between the end of Perek Chamishi and near the beginning of Perek Shvi. We're now at the beginning of Perek Shishi on Daf Samach Hei Amud Bet, Perek Mitziyat Ha'isha. And today, Mirtz Hashem, we will complete in this podcast first several Mishnayot of the Perek, along with the Gemara, up until Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah begins as follows: Mitziyat Ha'isha u'Maaseh Yadeha LeBa'ala. This is something, by the way, that we already saw in the fourth Perek, at the beginning of the fourth, near the beginning of the fourth Perek, and and really is unnecessary except for the end of the Mishnah, as the Gemara will point out. But that is that if a woman finds something or her wages belong to her husband, v'yushata, what happens to something that falls to her during the marriage? Hu ochel perot b'chayeha, he continues, he eats perot of that karka. Now, boshta ufgama shala, this is the one topic that wasn't really covered, and that is that if she is assaulted in some way, then the boshet payment belongs to her, which of course means that you take that, buy karka with it, he eats perot, etc. And also pgam, if she's damaged in any way, the damage, the nezek, it goes to her. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira disagrees, and he says, Rabbi Mateira Omer, bizman shebaseter, if the wound is something that is private, so that it's not publicly seen, la shnei chalakim v'lo echad, she gets 2/3 of the payment, he gets 1/3. Bizman shegalui, when if it's something that's seen, lo shnei chalakim v'lo echad, then he gets 2/3, she gets 1/3. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira is saying something quite radical here, which is that the husband has a claim to some of the payments due to his wife for someone who publicly damaged, hurt her, and attacked her, and shamed her, etc. All right, so we'll see that in the Gemara. Now, Shelo Yinatein Miyad. In Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira's world, there is partial payment to him, part to her. And so the part that comes to him is paid immediately. In the case of her payment, you take the payment and buy karka with it. He eats the perot, but the karka is hers. All right, so now the Gemara immediately asks the question, my kamash malan, tanina, ha'av chazaka v'vitobi kidusheha, b'kesef, b'shtar v'ya, zaka m'tziyata v'masi yada v'harat nereha, v'kabel kita v'eino achal perot b'chayeha, niseit yater alav ha'bal shu'achal perot b'chayeha. So, at the Mishnah, in the fourth Perek, told us all the things that the father has, and said the husband has those plus the issue of perot. What we see from there is that, all of the, those payments, already, we learned in the Mishnah, go to the husband. So the answer is, boshta ufagma itzteri chalei. What we needed here was to teach about boshet ufgam, plugta Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira v'Rabbanan. The machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and ben Mateira and the Rabbanan, in which he says that the husband has some portion, either 1/3 or 2/3, depending where the wound is, that was not taught earlier. So the entire Mishnah is set up just to bring us to boshet ufgam and that machloka. Now, tani tana kamei derava. Tziata isha la'atzma. We have a Tana who said, differently than our Mishnah, he taught in front of Rava, and he said that a woman's mitzia, she keeps. Rabbi Kiva omer leba'ala. Rabbi Kiva disagrees and says it goes to her husband. Now, amar le, Rava said back to him, hashta umaha dafa, let's think about this. If a woman works, and she makes extra, demase adahu, which is part of her wages, amar Rabbi Kiva la'atzma, we know, and we'll see the proof in a minute from a Mishnah at the end of Nedarim, that Rabbi Kiva says she keeps the surplus, mitziyata lo kol shekein, so certainly mitziyah, which the husband has no expectation of getting, certainly she should be able to keep. So why would Rabbi Kiva say that the mitziyah goes to the husband? Ditnan, how do we know that he holds that the surplus goes to her? Ditnan, this is a Mishnah that we've already seen in several contexts, in the Mishnah in Darim, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Dalin, konam shani osal afich, if a woman takes a neder from everything that she is making, all of her wages, that the husband can't get benefit, and also chlafer, the husband doesn't have to repudiate it because she doesn't have the right to make such a neder because there's a shibud. Rabbi Kiva omer yafer, Rabbi Kiva says the husband does have to repudiate it. Why? Shema ta'adif alav yotamina ra'uilo, because maybe she'll make more than the minimum of 5 slayim, 10 slayim, etc. Ella Epuch. So now I have to turn it around and say that the report, Rav is turning it around and saying the report that he heard should be backwards, which is Mitziati Shalabala or Bekiva Omer La'atzma. The mitziah, that the position of the chachamim is what we have in the Mishnah, which is the mitziah goes to the husband. Rabbi Kiva disagrees and says it goes to her. V'haki at Ravina Rabbi Yochanan, badofa shaloi de'elcha kolei amal opligi de'bal havei. But Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Kiva does not disagree with chachamim about surplus that happened easily for her. In other words, if she was somehow during the course of a regular day able to spin more wool and get extra money, then that certainly belongs to the husband. Ki pligi b'hadofa shaydead chak, that the only machlokot Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan is about hadofa shaydead chak, where she really had to push herself and stay extra hours to get extra work done, what we would call overtime. All right, so then that means that Rabbi Akiva does not necessarily believe certainly doesn't believe that all ha'adafa goes to her, and therefore why would we automatically say that Mitziah goes to her? So the Tanakama Savar Labala, Rabbi Akiva Savar Labatzma, that's the machloket. So Amar Papa, the answer is Mitziah ta ki ha'adafa shadeh chakdami. As Rashi points out, when you have a mitziah, it's something you have to work hard to try to find. Yeah, you heard that there's some fish that get washed up on shore, you have to go find them, etc. That's the example Rashi gives. So that's like working extra hard, in which Rabbi Kiva would say it goes to her. Now, plukta Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan, good. Bar of Papa, astalo shtaim bevatachat, mahu. What if the woman does two jobs at once? Like she watches somebody's garden, shomer kishuim, and while she's doing it, she's spinning wool. Alright, boy, Ravina asked it further. What if she gets three jobs done or four jobs done at one time? Mahu. In other words, do we regard that as hadofa al yedei hadchak, because she's doing so many things at once? Or do we say chalai de hadchak, because if she's able to do all these at one time, it doesn't cost her extra time, and she's somehow able to multitask? And the answer, of course, is teku. We don't have a resolution to it, whether that's considered al yedei hadchak or not, and therefore whether Rabbi Akiva would say it goes la'atzma. According to Chachamim, it wouldn't make a difference, because in any case, it goes la'bala. Okay, the Mishnah then said, boshto ufgama. Matkif lo Rava bar Chanan. So Rava challenged this. Elamiata, b'yesh susato shel chaviro. If you shame somebody else's horse, the attack that he's making is, how could the husband have a claim on boshet when she's the one embarrassed? So he takes an extreme reductio argument here and says, so if you embarrass somebody else's horse, hachinami deboy lemitan lake boshet, you have to pay the owner? So the answer to that is very quickly, the sus bar boshet too. You can't embarrass a horse. A horse doesn't have that kind of sense of shame. As Mark Twain said, human beings are the only creature that feels shame, of course, and then the only ones who need to. So let's minimize this argument, but still take it to if a person spits on somebody else's garment. Do you still have to pay the fellow boshet because you, shall we say, embarrassed his garment? If you're going to say that you do have to pay him, hatnan, we have a Mishnah that says, rakak vigia boharok, if you spit and the spit hits somebody, it goes on their body, if you took a woman's hair covering off, or you grab somebody's cloak off of him, all these in public, of course, it's a flat payment, a very high payment of arbami elzuz for boshet. Alright, v'yamar papa lo shanu elabo, but that's only if the spit hits the person. Aval bevigdo pator, but if it hits the garment, you know, you spit, this is of course something inadvertent, you spit and it hit his garment, then you're pator. So you see, bevigdo leziluta, the answer is simply that if somebody spits and it hits your garment, it's not a shaming to you, that's also not an act of defiance in the same way. Yishto id laziluta, but if somebody shames a man's wife, that is also an attack on the man. Now, Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Elamiatas, if that's the case, Biesh Ani Ben Tuvim. Let's say that somebody shamed a poor person who was the child of a wealthy family. In other words, we're now extending it and saying it's not just the person himself, it's all the other people who have an investment in his honor and therefore who are hurt by his being shamed. Here you got a poor guy, which means the boshet would normally be low, but he comes from a wealthy family. So if you're going to start counting in all of his relatives and everybody else who feels embarrassed that this guy got shamed, suddenly, you have to start paying all of them? Now that's not the same thing. They're not the same person. Hacha ishto gufei habe. We have a general rule which is ishto kegufo, and therefore, really we've knocked out all of the other arguments by saying that shaming a person's wife really is somewhat tantamount to shaming him himself, and therefore he has a chelek. Good. The next Mishnah. And the next couple of Mishnayot are going to deal with the issue of Nidunya, and how much we reckon the money that the woman is bringing into the wedding and into the marriage, and how we reckon it in the ketubah as how much he received. Haposek mal dachatnos, the chotnos. So this first small mishnah is very straightforward. It says that if a man agrees to give to his son-in-law to be a certain amount of money, umet chotno, and the fellow dies, and there's already after Erus, and the fellow dies. Of course, they don't have any children, and therefore she falls to the brother. He has the right to say to the Yavam and say, I was willing to give your brother this money. I'm not willing to give you this money. If the brother comes and says, the Yavam comes and says, okay, I want that same amount of money, the father could say, I'm not willing to give it to you. I was agreeing to give it to your brother. I liked him. I don't necessarily like you as much. All right, he has that right to say it. Now, the next Mishnah, Paskalach Niso Elef Dinar. This is a piece which you have to sometimes maybe sit down a little bit with a pencil and paper to work it out. Not so difficult, but something to keep a couple things in mind. And that is as follows. When the woman brings in any property into the marriage, anything she owns, is all classified as nechasim hayotzim nechasim ima, but there are two types. There's nechset son barzel, in which he accepts responsibility for their depreciation, which means that if she brings in animals, a field, whatever it may be, and they're regarded as tzon barzel, then that amount is written in, and if there's a divorce or death, then that he has to return that value, which means if it depreciated, he has to make it up. Of course, if it appreciated, then he only has to give that amount and not the extra. Nichsem malog are stay at their value. So if they appreciate, she gains. If they depreciate, she loses. And of course, the husband has less of an interest in appreciating that, for at least on a personal, on a selfish angle. Now, Paskal achniso elef dinar. If she agreed to bring in 1,000 dinar, let's say as an example, hupose kenegdan chamesh esrei maneh. He has to write into the ketubah that he got 1,500, not 1,000. Why? Because she's bringing in cash, and cash is something that he can use, he can invest, he can play with, and therefore he's really getting a greater benefit. So he has to write one half more or one third more. Now, uchenegin hashum posek pachot chomesh. But when if it's goods that she brings in, like her clothes and other things like that, then what he writes in is 80% of that. So if she brought in 1,000 worth of stuff, he writes in that he received 800, because those are things that depreciate. Now, shum b'maneh v'shaveh maneh, but if he agreed to take something estimated at 1,000, and it really was 1,000, then ein lo ela maneh. He can't turn around and claim, oh, but you brought in 1,000, I only owe you 800, and he can't say, I wrote 1,000, therefore you have to bring in 1,250, but rather, if he agreed to that, that's what we got. Now, shum b'maneh, but if he just wrote in an estimate, he didn't make an agreement of how much he was going to. The estimate was 1,000. And he notenet shloshim v'achad sel of a dinar, which ends up meaning 1,250. In other words, she has to bring in the amount that was written in plus a fifth, so that the amount is what she brought in. 80% of what she brought in because of depreciation. Now, v'arbamiot, let's say she brings in 400 worth of stuff. He writes for 400 worth of stuff. He no tenet chamesh miot. She has to bring in 500 worth of stuff, again, to have it be considered for depreciation. Now, ma shechatan posek, hu posek pachot chomesh. And from the chatan side, whatever he writes in, he writes in one-fifth less than he's providing, because, again, the same thing, because of depreciation. Now, Tana Rabbanan. On the first Mishnah, Ein Sarich Lomar Rishon Tamid Chacham Sheni Am Haaretz. We're not only talking about a case where the first brother, remember, where the father said, I was willing to give it to you, but not to your brother. We're not talking only about a case where the first brother was a great Tamid Chacham and the second one was an Am Haaretz. El Afilu Rishon Am Haaretz Vesheni Tamid Chacham. Even if the first guy was an Am Haaretz and the second guy was a Tamid Chacham, Cholomar, Lachicha Yitar Ratzalitain, Hayitar Ratzalitain, Lachay Yafshalitain. He could still say, I was willing to give it to your brother, but not to you. I don't like you as much. The fact you're a great scholar, a great person, still, no deal. Now, Paskal achniso elef dinar, etc. So the Gemara just very quickly deals with all of the examples in the Mishnah and says, Hainu Reisha, after all, you gave several examples of the same thing, which is the four-fifths rule. So the answer is Tana Shuma Rabba, Uktani Shuma Zuta. So they first wanted to make it with a lot of money, and also give example with a small amount of money, because you would think that with a small amount of money, perhaps the depreciation is less. with a great amount of money, the depreciation is greater, or vice versa. You have that argument. So show you that it's a standard and static ratio of 4/5, no matter the amount. We did it also from both his side and her side. Okay, the next Mishnah, which continues on this theme, Pascal l'chnis lo ksafim. So if she agrees to bring in money, sila na'asa shisha dinarim. It's another example of the same thing, which is the sela, which is 4 dinarim, becomes 6 dinarim. That's a very small amount, but again, it is that money gets reckoned in as 150% of what she actually brought in. Hachatan mekabal alav 10 dinarim lekupat l'chol maneh umaneh. And by the way, the chatan accepts upon himself the responsibility to give her 10 dinarim for every maneh, for every 100 that she brings in. This is a separate obligation. And what's this about and how often? We will see. How often we will see that we don't know what it's about, we will find out what it is. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer hakol k'minhag ha-medina. The Rav Shimon Gamliel says, all of this is follows minhag ha-medina. Now, according to the Rambam, that it refers to the entire piece till now, which means all of these rules of one third up and one fifth down and everything else are all based on minhag ha-medina, which is why the Rambam, take a look, and I noted on the page, in Hilchot Ishor, Perak Chavgimel, Halacha Yud Aleph, and Halacha Yud Bet, the Rambam says there are many, many different minhagim, and whatever the local custom, as long as it's the widespread mainstream custom there of how you reckon these things, that's what carries the day. Okay, now, Hainu Posek Kenegdam, Chamisha Asar Maneh. The Gemara asks immediately, again, this Mishnah, to be the first half of it, is repeating what the previous Mishnah said. Again, the 50% up on money. So Tana Iska Rabba Vatana Iska Zuta. Again, they wanted to show you that it applies both to a great amount of money, 1,000, and also to 1 dinar. Right? And Tana Iska Zuta. Utsricha, you need them both. Why di Tana Iska Rabba if they only mention it when there's a lot of money to Nafish Ravcha, because there's a lot of profit. So that's why he has to write 50% up. But Iska Zuta to Zuta Ravcha, but with a small amount of money, there's not much profit. Maybe a Malo. Maybe he only writes in exactly what he got, not 50% more. And if I only mention it with a small amount, zuta ziyuna, there's very little trouble involved in a small amount. Aval iska rabba denafi ziyuna, but when you have a large amount, there's a lot of work and expenditure and energy and worry and everything else. Amalo, I might think that he doesn't mark it up, or at least not as much. Tzricha. So therefore, I need both of them. Now, hachatan mekabal vav asara dinar lekupa. We have this statement at the end, that the chatan accepts this 10 dinar per, right? My kupa, what's the kupa? Ravashi kupa shel besamim. It means to give her perfumes. V'amar Ravashi lo nemru dvarim halalu el Yerushalayim. And this is a unique minhag of Yerushalayim, and it doesn't apply anywhere else, which of course then fits with Shem Gamliel saying it all follows minhag ha-medina. By Ravashi, b'maneh hanishom o b'maneh hamitkabel. Now, what is he paying? Is he paying 10 zoos for every maneh that he got, or for every maneh that's listed, which of course is 50% more? Now, if you're going to say it's the amount that he really got, then yom rishon o kol yom vayom. Does he do that every one, the first day, or every day? If you think it's every day, then Shabbat rishon o kol Shabbat rishon. Is it every week? Is it every month? Or is it every year? Teiko, and the answer is, we have no clue from here what the minhag of Yerushalayim was, and evidently it fell out of practice, so nobody could testify about it, about what this meant. Did it mean that he had to take, if he got 1,500, he had to take 10 zoos every week, every month, every year, or just a one-time deal to buy her perfume? Unclear. But it was the local minhag, and that was what really carried the day. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ma'aseh b'vito shel Naktimon ben Gurion. So now we have a story that we had, another place in the Masechet, a story about the daughter-in-law of Naktimon ben Gurion. And here's the daughter of Naktimon ben Gurion, who was a very wealthy man in Yerushalayim, Shepaskula Chachamim Arba Miot Zehuvim L'Kupash Al-Bsamim L'Vobayom. Chachamim, based on his wealth and her wealth, and etc., said that she's supposed to get 400 gold pieces for perfume for the day of the wedding, the Bobayom. Amra lahem, and so she turned to the Chacham and said, Kachtiv sekul ivnoteichem, that's what you should make sure to give all of your daughters. Ve'anu achare amen. And in this case, they did answer amen, unlike in the other case. They answered amen, because they were, you know, I suppose it's tefillah, halavai, we should be so wealthy that we could do that also. Now, Tana Rabbanan, Ma'aseh Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Ben Zakkai is a very sad story. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, of course, was the head of the Sanhedrin, the great Gadol Hador at the time of the Churban. Shahaya Rucheb al Achamor. He's riding on a donkey. Vahaya Yotzeb Yerushalayim. He's leaving Yerushalayim. Vahayu Talmidav Ho Mehachin Acharav. His students were following him. Ra'ari Ba'achat Shahitam Alaketet Se'orim Ben Gvalei Behemtan Shal Arvi'im. He saw a girl who was collecting barley from the feces of animals of the Arabs. Kivan Sharatauto Nitatfa Besa'aravi Amdalafanav. So she saw him, she used her hair to cover herself up, and she stood in front of him. Amralo Rabbi Parnaseni. She said, Rabbi, give me some food. Amralo Biti Miat, who are you? Amralo Bat Naktimon Ben Gurionani. I am the daughter of Naktimon Ben Gurion, the same one who got those 400 zuvim for her wedding for perfume. Amarla bitim, amon shel beit avich echan halach. So what happened to all the money in your father's house? This is evidently before the Churban. Amarla Rebbe, lo k'dein matlin matlab Yerushalayim. Isn't it like the people in Yerushalayim who have the parables and say, mila mamon chaser, malach mamon chaser, that the money that you keep is what you give away? V'amrilach chased, or some people say that you give in chased. In other words, she's saying her father did not give enough tzedakah, and as a result of that, he ended up losing his fortune. The way malach mamon, if you want to hold on to money, then get rid of the money, meaning tzedakah. V'shabed chamech echanhu, so where's all the money from your father-in-law's house? Amralo, ba'zeh v'ibedetzeh. The two got tangled up in business, and they ended up both losing. Amralo, Rebbe, zachoratam mishechatam tal ketubati. Do you remember you signed my ketubah? Amralahem latamidav. He turned to his talmidim and said, zachorani keshechatam tal ketubata. Shalzo, I remember I signed your ketubah. Vaiti korei ba elef alafim dinarei zaha mibeit avich, avia chutz mishelchamiyah. I remember mentioning that there were thousands of thousands of dinarim coming in from her father's house, besides what her father-in-law was sending in, what the husband was bringing in. Bachar b'yochem enzaka v'amar. Look what Rabbi Yochem enzaka said. He said, ashrechem Yisrael. Think how happy you are, Yisrael. Bizman shosin mitzvono shel makom, when you do Hashem's will, ein kol uma v'lashon shalet b'hem. Nobody can attack you. Nobody can control you. No nation. Bizman she'ein osin mitzvono shel makom, but when you don't do Hashem's will, mosran biyad umashfala. The Hashem hands you over to a low nation. Lo biyad umashfala, not only in a low nation, el biyad behemtan shel umashfala. You end up being subservient to the animals of a lowly nation, because here she was picking her food out of the feces of animals belonging to the Arabs. Now, v'naktimon megurion lo avet tzedakah, parenthetically, let's think about that story. You tell me that the great Naktimon didn't do tzedakah? V'atanya, we have a bright that says, amru alav al Naktimon megurion. Shahaya yotzei mibeito levet hamidrash, when he would leave his house, klei milah tayu mitzi'inach tachtav, they would lay fancy carpets for him to walk on, uvayin anim kaplinotan me'acharav, and the anim would come and fold them in back of him. In other words, he would drop money for the anim. So one thing to say is, you know, he did it, but he did it for his own glory. He didn't do it for the proper reason. It's an interesting comment on the notion of Shelo Lishma. And he didn't do what he should have done. In other words, he gave money, but not as much as he, based on his wealth, should have given. Like the saying goes, the fumgam lashachna, that the burden is based on the camel. In other words, if the camel's big, he gets a bigger burden. He was rich, he had a bigger burden, he did not fulfill it. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok, Er Eben Achama. It's about to tell a sad story. Im lo ri'itiha shehaitam alaketet se'orim ben talfei susim ba'ako. I swear that I saw that girl, the same daughter of Naktimon Gurion, collecting barley pieces from between the hooves of the horses in Akko. Karati ala mikra zeh. So when I saw that, I read the following pasuk. Im lo tidrin lach hayafa banashim, if you don't know you, the most beautiful of women, go out and follow the sheep and shepherd your gdayim, your kids, your little goats. Rashi points out that saying it's a euphemism. It doesn't mean your kids, but rather your body. In other words, take your body out and go to the flock and see if you can find something to eat. Amarav Shaman Bar Abba Amarav Yochanan. We now get back to our sugya. What happens if the woman brings in gold? How do we regard gold? Is gold money? Is gold stuff? What do we say about it? You assess it. And it's the exact value that it is. We don't mark a fifth down, but we also don't mark a half up. We have challenged it. Zahav is like kelim. And what are kelim? Kelim get measured at 80% of what she brings in. Ma'alav kekelim shel kesef depachti. Isn't it like silver things that depreciate? Lo kekelim shel zahav delapachti. Then it's separate. It's golden kelim. In other words, they don't depreciate. So im ken kechelav mibaylu. Then it shouldn't say kechelim. It should say kechelav. Gold is like kela, meaning the vessels of gold. That's what it should say. In other words, that it's measured at its exact value. The odd tanya, besides that, we have a bright that says zahav harei hukechelim dinarei zahav harein kiksavim. Zahav is like vessels, but zahav coins are like money that you do 50% up. Shem Gamliel omer makom shnagush lo lefortan. Shem Gamliel says in a place in which they don't have the custom to use gold, these coins these pieces of gold as coins, then shaminotan v'en b'shavyan, then they just have their exact value. Now, Moshe Gamliel, hey, what's he referring to? What's he commenting on? Ilema seifa, if he's talking about the last part of the braita, so michal tana kama savar afilu makom shen nahagu shelo lefortan. Halonafki. Does Tanakama think that they're counted as money even in a place where they aren't used as money? Well, you can't use them. Halonafki. Allah Varesha must be talking about the first clause. Fachikamar Zahav Hareu Kachilim. That the opening of the Brayta said Zahav, regular gold, is like Kilim. So my Kilim, Kilim Shel Kesef. Meaning, regular Kilim, 80% value. Shem Gamliel Omer Hareu Kedinarin Shel Zahav Makom Shnagu Shel Olafortan. He says, no, it should be considered like coins, except this is a place where they don't count them as coins. So really it should go back to the seifa. We're talking about a situation where we occasionally use such coins, but it's not very very easy to do, and other people generally aren't willing to accept them. This is the machloket. Since you can use them, we count this 50% up. That is Rabban Shem Gamliel. So Mar Savar Tanakama says, since you can only use them barely and occasionally and with trouble, therefore we count it as even and not as 50% up because it's not easy for him to use this. Another way to read it is the entire bright of Shem Gamliel. There's something missing. And here's what you read. Zahav Areu Kechelim. Gold is like kelim, meaning 80%. You measure 80%. Dinarei zahav, gold coins, harein kichsafin, that's like money, 150%. B'medvar memorim, when's that? B'makom shenagu l'fortan. That's in a place where they use them as coins. B'makom shenagu shelo l'fortan. If it's a place where they don't use them as coins, shaminotam, v'rein b'shovyan. Then you keep it at the exact level, what it is. And it's om shemigamliel, shemigamliel omer, makom shenagu shelo l'fortan, shaminotam, v'rein b'shovyan. In a place where you don't use them as coins, then they maintain their exact value. But nonetheless, the brighter should still not read kechelim, but rather kechelav. Gold coins are like gold. So the answer is kasha. You're right, that's a difficulty. Now, the very end here, maybe that we're talking, in that case, about little bits of gold, or vashiyamar b'mamale, or a little gold filling or covering. In other words, those really are not of value at all in using them as coins, and they do depreciate because they're small and they get frittered away, and therefore they're measured at 80%. And that's when we say kachol hakelim. Now, Amar Rabbi Yanai, b'samim shel Antuchia, Antioch in Syria, was mainly known as a place at a particular period that made perfumes. So perfumes of Antioch, harehin kechsafim. Those are considered like ksafim. So if a woman brings those in, the husband can use them and invest them and buy and sell with them, and therefore he has to measure, again, 150%. Rishuam Rachmani Amar B'Yochanan. Gmalim shel Aravya, isha gova paranamihem. As a machloket Rishonim, what this is referring to, and it's a fascinating Rashba, you should take a look at if you have a chance, on this comment. But Gmalim shel Aravya, the Arab camels, a woman, the way we're like Rabbi Natan, can use them to collect tuba. Right? Why? Because they are so used as barter, as the coin for trade, that it's so reliable that you can assume it as karka. Amarav Papi, Hani Totvi Deve Michsi, the clothes made in this particular place, Ishagova Parnamihem, same thing. Papi, honey, saki derudya va'ashdi dekamchunya. The sacks here and the ropes made over there. Shagova pranamihan, same deal. So Amarava, merei shaviyamina. I used to think, honey, arniki de mechuza. The money pouches in mechuza ishagova pranamihan. Again, a woman can collect her ksuba from them. My time, why did I think that? Asmachatayu alayu, because they rely on them. Kevin the chazoy ishakalu v'nafki. But once I saw that they take them and when they have a chance, they use that money to buy land, Amena, then I realize that the money is not the karka. The money is just something to kind of keep, kind of hold on to until they can get karka, and therefore he, in the end, ruled that you cannot use the arnaki of mechuza for collection of a ketubah. So we'll continue, Mirtz Hashem, with the next podcast. We'll pick up in the ninth parak where we were, and then in a few days we will again continue with these makeup shiurim. I wish you have a wonderful day.